Assalamu alaikum, Lashana Tova, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my effervescent helpmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And Lashana Tova to you, my dear, and to everyone, because today is Rosh Hashanah, which began last night at sundown in Israel and will end tomorrow at sundown.
And we're still here.
We are, but there's still another day, and remember, we don't know which day or what hour he will come for his bride, and if it's not this year, we do know it is closer than last year, and also gives us a little more time to evangelize.
And store up more rewards.
Yes, for sure. And we can all sing along at the end of this program. That special song that wishes you peace on this special day and all days.
Shalom aleichem.
Yes. So this is our last week for our Rosh Hashanah Study of a Break Roots 101. So let us once again thank the Lord for his 7 scheduled appointments he made with man. And even better, that this generation can now prophetically understand what they really mean for his church.
Abba, Father. We thank you for your revealed knowledge about our Jewish roots, knowing you desire that we not be ignorant of how things will be. Everything is in the Word, our lamp unto our feet that lights our way, faithfully knowing all your prophecies will be fulfilled. Until then, may we not grow weary in spreading the good news. For one day, that last trump will sound, and our lives will begin again with you in your holy presence forever. We lift up to you these recent petitions and for our lost loved ones' salvation. We pray for the Christians trying to escape Afghanistan, also the many flood victims, and please send that needed rain to put out the West Coast fires according to thy will. May tonight's program bless you and those listening tonight as we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, another year where the festivals are overshadowed by COVID, but no lockdowns this time, with just a few common restrictions like masks if more than 100 are congregating and either have the vaccine or negative test up to 4 days prior. Not that bad.
But if the numbers go up after that, more restrictions will follow.
Probably. Meanwhile, there are missiles still flying about between northern Israel and Syria, very near Damascus, as we all watch for Isaiah 17 to be fulfilled, which in my mind would mean the rapture would happen within 1 year if we haven't left already, but for sure by the very next Rosh Hashanah after the destruction of Damascus.
Why do you say that?
Well, because by verse 4, it says in that day, and that always means the 7th and last millennium. On a Rosh Hashanah, some year will begin that last 1,000 years of Jesus' reign before eternity. So therefore, we must be removed for our honeymoon in heaven for 7 years while Jacob's trouble occurs. And then we will all come back down and rule with Christ on earth for the remaining 993 years. After that, God himself comes down with the new Jerusalem from heaven.
As Revelation 21 describes.
Right. And on another note, Biden has regifted the $235 million of our tax money to the Palestinians that Trump had canceled.
No surprise there.
Well, certainly not. He loves spending our money.
And we'll send money to the Taliban, too.
Yeah, even though they have been handed $90 billion worth of our very sophisticated military equipment, even airplanes. But China and Russia is moving in on all that as they lick their lips. Interesting that Washington has now scrubbed its federal website of the list of those weapons it gave the Taliban. Put it all together, and we are watching the fundamental transformation of America as we knew would one day begin to happen.
Jeremiah 30:11.
And since we left Afghanistan, many of our Afghan translators that we had promised to take along with all the Americans when we left, some are now being executed. And that is a fact, as many accounts are surfacing that they are first being made to watch as their wives and families are being beheaded, and then them as well.
But Washington has claimed the Taliban is new and improved.
Nope. This is the same old Taliban with the same brutal practices. This is so sad. It was, I really do believe it's done on purpose, to get more refugees into America, to include some terrorists. Even your gut can see that, knowing at some point, we'll just have to go back.
Yeah, it's pure evil.
Americans and their interpreters are being stopped from flying out. And as of this afternoon, they're still waiting, like, on six planes on the tarmac. Are they hostages waiting for their ransom to come through, as in recognizing the Taliban as the legitimate government of Afghanistan?
Or is our own State Department holding it up?
Oh, right. I read that as well, which has been leaked out. Maybe they're just embarrassed that private companies, like veteran companies, are able to do it over our own government. Anyway, but they were sure quick to take credit for the recent four that escaped, when in fact it was a private veteran company. And apparently, if we declare the Taliban as a legitimate government, well, then they're going to receive much money from the UN. Although, again, China is currently helping to fund them and buying some of our left-behind equipment for dirt cheap, I'm sure.
And don't forget all those poppy fields.
All right. Again, this is all planned. So we have, you know, a good excuse to go back, and like we did in Iraq.
Yeah, well, so Lockheed Martin can sell more weapons.
To replace what we just gave away.
What a scam.
You know, the devil is in all the details, including COVID.
So, what's the latest on COVID?
Well, they say the cases are increasing because of Delta, and now the Mu variant, that's M-U, but they seldom mention that the numbers are increasing within the vaccinated even more so. Hello? In fact, I just read that if a person gets COVID or any variant and they only had one shot, that they're put in the category of non-vaccinated. And if they get sick within 14 days of the shot, they just say it hadn't had time to work yet.
I did hear someone on TV say, oh, that's too bad. They didn't get the shot earlier.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable deception. Because it's the shots, really, that are making at least some people very sick and very quickly. Even many deaths that they're not reporting, certainly not on mainstream media. So everyday Americans keep believing that the COVID vaccines will protect them from getting COVID.
But that's never been true.
Right. The shots do not prevent you from being infected with COVID, nor do they keep you from spreading COVID.
Just that your symptoms will be less severe.
Yeah. They call it breakthrough infections, which is now right on schedule, becoming more common.
As Dr. Tenpenny and other doctors said would happen.
There's even new evidence that double-vaxxed individuals who then still get breakthrough COVID will build up huge viral loads in their noses and sinuses, causing them to become super spreaders and infect others. And the booster shots can do that as well.
So, in a sense, they are more contagious to the unvaccinated.
It's appearing that way. Also called shedding, as we have discussed before.
So, keep your immune system healthy.
Oh my gosh, yes, that is the key. You know, we've been saying, just give it some time, and when people see the truth and how dangerous the shots are, they'll ease up on criticizing us. But I really wonder now if that will ever happen, because they're underreporting. And if you are a staunch Democrat, you just won't listen to any conservative news. And there is a boatload of it on the Internet. And by the way, Ministry Now on Daystar TV has been excellent in reporting the truth. But to get a lefty to watch it, No way.
So they remain deceived.
No, it's very frustrating to watch. So let me top it off with this. The shots severely compromise your God-given immune system, therefore minimizes its attack on other viruses or variants, and we know there are many more different pestilence and plagues coming.
And that's according to Scripture.
Yep, Luke 21, Matthew 24, and often in Revelation.
Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you on our mailing list for our newsletter updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And a reminder to keep the many victims trying to recoup after Ida's floods and the West fires in your prayers. And word is out that many of the fires have come from purposeful arson. Again, evil at its finest, and the worst is yet to come. Okay, last time we listed and gave a quick explanation of the other names or phrases that Rosh Hashanah also goes by.
So, without the details, let's just repeat the names in case someone missed last week.
Okay, because tonight we will be going into more detail on the Jewish wedding because the typology is enormous. But the other names are Chief of the Year, Yom Terah, or the Day of the Awakening Blast.
Well, that's very telling.
Mm-hmm. The Coronation, Open the Gates, Day of Judgment, Day of Remembrance, and No One Knows the Day or the Hour.
Because it lasts for 2 days.
And probably why Jesus said it in Matthew 25, for it was a clue to those in the know.
Also, Arise, the Hidden Day, and the Last Trump.
And, by the way, Paul knew he was exposing a great mystery when he gave the church that specific clue because it was frequently used for the Feast of Trumpets. And it's also the anniversary of Adam's creation. Anyhow, let's talk about the first century Jewish wedding when Jesus walked, and since Yeshua was raised Jewish, we can compare it as to how it will be with us, his faithful bride.
And there are four phases.
Yep. Betrothment. Now, that can either be arranged by the father, sometimes from birth, or the young man himself can ask, or there could even be a matchmaker, as was the case with Isaac in Genesis 24.
And we claim all three of them.
We sure do. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, our matchmaker, who actually does woo us to the right situation enhanced by others' prayers.
So, never stop praying for your loved ones.
Amen. So, we became betrothed when we accepted his spiritual Passover by applying the blood and inviting Yeshua into our hearts.
And promised to serve no other god.
That's right. Back in the first century, if the prospective bride accepts his proposal by drinking from the cup of wine, and if the father also accepts the bride price, he would pull out a white linen cloth and give it to the young man. The typology here, of course, is that Jesus, too, paid the bride price with his blood on the cross.
And Jesus was wrapped in a white linen cloth.
That's for sure.
Then she would receive her gifts.
And we too receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. Then the groom would go and prepare a place for her at his father's house. Jesus also said he would go and prepare a place for us in John 14, 2.
And he said, I will come again and receive you to myself.
And this special place is called a hadar, or wedding chamber.
Isaiah 26:20.
Mm-hmm. So the young virgin would now prepare herself and also partake in a ceremonial cleansing called a mikvah.
Like our water baptism.
Yes, which is why we do a total immersion, just like they did.
As did John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Then she would study her contract that the groom would give her. It was called a ketubah, which outlined his promises and her responsibilities.
For us, it's our Bible.
Mm-hmm. And like the maiden would speak to the groom's friends to learn more about him, we as well learn more about Jesus through his autobiography penned by Yeshua's friends, particularly Moses and the father of all the biblical prophets, Elijah, who also showed up at the Transfiguration and will return for the first half of the tribulation. Then the virgin waits for the shout of the shofar to go out to meet him, who will then escort her in a chariot to his father's house for a big wedding under the huppah.
Just like we anxiously await.
For sure, as we all long to hear that loud teruah shofar trumpet sound to meet Yeshua in the air for our big wedding right after he is crowned king. For, again, Rosh Hashanah is the day as all Jewish kings had their coronation ceremony on Rosh Hashanah.
The anniversary of the creation of Adam.
Also considered a king over the earth and the animals. And after our wedding under heaven's huppah, God will give us our rewards.
And the queen's crown.
And not just one.
What a glorious day that will be.
It's hard to even imagine the scope of it all. Like 1 Corinthians 2:9 describes,
eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him.
And then comes the honeymoon or the Shavuah, which actually means seven, and we have talked about this many times because it really is important to understand.
All right, the Jewish honeymoon must be a period of seven.
Exactly, because that's God's complete number. In those days, honeymoons were usually for 7 days, which is a week called a Shavuah. But if you had a lot of money, it could last for 7 weeks, but it had to be seven. Anything less would annul the marriage. Let's read that scripture in Genesis 29, you know, where Jacob just realized for it had been at night and so therefore dark that he hadn't consummated his marriage with Rachel, but her older sister Leah instead. And he was outraged and left the Hadar, the wedding chamber, to speak with her father Laban, who told him this in Genesis 29, verse 26.
I cannot give you the younger before the firstborn.
So verse 27 confirms the importance of the week-long honeymoon. So let's read what Laban told Jacob.
Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also.
Okay, so our honeymoon must be for a period of seven. And in our case, it's 7 years, not 3.5 like the mid-tribbers claim. And that's just pure bunk.
And the post-tribbers don't recognize a honeymoon at all.
Right, which is why we push so hard for the church to know these gold nuggets. Because knowing our roots from the first century and before is how we learn how it will be with us. That's why he set up all the customs and idiomatic expressions so we could compare it to us. Mid and post-tribbers do not truly understand their Hebraic roots from the first century.
Right.
Even many Messianic Jews don't understand their roots from the first century, only what their father and grandfathers taught them that has changed a lot since the first century.
Well, you know, especially through the Dark Ages.
Oh, yeah, especially.
Okay, back to Rachel.
Okay, to prove she was a virgin, and because all covenants were blood covenants, the marriage consummation must be proven by the blood-stained white linen cloth which had been given to the young man and his betrothment from the father. The new husband would show to the witnesses waiting outside the blood-stained cloth. They would then both remain in the Hadar for the rest of the 7 days while guests come and go until they come out of the chamber.
So she is now unveiled for all to see.
They then return back to the young wife's previous home to announce it's official and stay for the reception, where they ate at the marriage supper.
And here's the typology.
We accept Jesus' covenant with his blood-stained garments, and at the end of our 7-year honeymoon in heaven, we'll return to earth, our previous home, like the new wife would do. And from our studies, we conclude it will be on Yom Kippur at the Great Trump.
Matthew 24:31.
With our husband, Yeshua. And after he rids the earth of its evil, Revelation 19, we will partake in a gala event ushered in with the Feast of Tabernacles called the Season of Joy, and definitely enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb right here as the Messianic Kingdom on Earth begins, which also just happens to be on Jesus's earthly birthday, Tishri 15.
September 21st on our calendar this year of 2021.
Yes.
What about divorce?
Well, it was only for adultery, and likely she would be stoned to death. With Jesus, the only divorce is through spiritual adultery, which is blaspheming the Holy Spirit by denying Christ as your Savior, and that means spiritual death. And Hebrews 6 also addresses that. But really, what true believer could ever do that? Otherwise, we believe in once saved, always saved. Jesus died for all our sins, past, present, and future. But don't let that sacrifice be a license to habitually sin.
If so, then the question is, are they really saved?
Right. Do they really know him, as Matthew 7 suggests? Some just might not. So, tomorrow at sundown begins the High Holy Days to the end of Teshuvah on Yom Kippur. And if we are still here, next week we'll look at the Feast of Yom Kippur. Okay, I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, and then you can enjoy the song. But first, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now enjoy the song, Shalom Aleichem.
Listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.